Hey everyone, and welcome back to a very special episode of Canadian Gamers. You'll probably notice in my lovely voice that I am sick. That is right, it is the infamous COVID. It has found me. I am doomed. I am also alone. Steven decided to ditch me, that monster. And you know what? We were actually looking and talking about this. We have done a Game of the Year video all the way dating back to 2013. We've done a video every single year for our Game of the Year awards. And so leave it to Steven to be a total douchebag and ditch me. But I absolutely had to do one this year because, well, I'm not going to break with tradition, unlike that monster. So, no, the truth is, though, Steven's been in a little bit of a funk lately, sort of like Ahmed has been with regards to gaming. That's not to say that, like, he's not playing anything. He's been playing his Pokemon Sword and Shield, Pokemon Snap, and Pokemon, Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. But that's pretty much all he's been playing. So he's a big loser. That's it, okay? So we can all just, we can all agree on that, and then we can move on from there. So what I'm going to do is, basically, I'm going to cover my top 10, obviously. And I have a few games, as is always the case, that basically were released right at the end of the year that I just want to have like a little honorable mention. And the footage you're seeing here is not specific to the games. It's just random footage until we get into the actual games themselves. So Cyberpunk 2077, that whole fiasco, I actually really enjoyed the game. It was released on December 10th, 2020, and I just wanted to mention it because I did really enjoy that. Now, with regards to actual honorable mentions, I want to mention Castlevania, the Advance Collection, or Castlevania Advance Collection. That was really good. Another one was The Gunk, believe it or not. That was released just a little while ago on December 16th. Very, very good game. Very nice and relaxing. Nothing too complex. It's sort of like a mix of like a Luigi's Mansion where you got like a vacuum where you're like sucking up all this gunk, except it's like an arm. And just light action. Very, very pleasant game. Not too stressful. I really enjoyed it. Very fun. So those are my honorable mentions for this year. So let's get started here. At number 10, we have The Medium. What? Yeah, so The Medium was released again on Xbox Game Pass. And you'll see there's a couple of Xbox Game Pass games on here because I think the service is absolutely brilliant. Highly recommend you check it out if you're interested in just trying a whole bunch of different games. So The Medium was really interesting take on the survival horror slash horror genre where you sort of shifted between two different realities when you're trying to find out what's going on in the story. And just overall, it wasn't the best with regards to the gameplay. Like, there was some refinements that I wish they would have done, and I think it would have scored a little bit higher. But overall, it was a really nice, creepy game that just sort of kept me on my toes. Number 9. Well, number 9, we have something truly interesting, and it is another horror game. This one I reviewed, and it's Tormented Souls. I played this bad boy on Steam and loved every minute of it. It is very much, okay, a successor, if you will, to the original Resident Evil and Silent Hill games. Like, it's got the tank controls, it plays very much like that with a stilted gameplay, you know, not much access to save your game, not much access to, like, ammunition, things like that. So it gets very challenging as it goes on, and very dark, very twisted game, fixed camera angles, you know, the whole thing. And just overall, just really, truly enjoyed it. Thought it was a phenomenal game. Really worth checking out. My number 8 is actually a remake. Well, remake. A re-release, I guess, would be probably the better way of saying it. And that's The Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword HD. That was released on the Switch, I believe it was in July, August, somewhere around there. In the summertime, it was released. I went through it. Steven, if I remember right, Steven had started, and he was like, "Nah, it was all right." And he didn't get really into it. I love Zelda. You guys know that. It's one of my favorite series, along with Dragon Quest. And yeah, so I really, really enjoyed it. Had a really good time with it. But it's nothing overly outstanding, you know. Like, I like the fact that, you know, you can move the camera around if you're using the motion controls. I like the fact that you didn't have to use the motion controls. Just overall, it was just a nice Zelda game to play again. And the truth is, it really opened my eyes to kind of realizing, hey, you know what? Like, this game actually has a lot of its DNA left in Breath of the Wild. It was kind of interesting to sort of see that. All right, number 6, we have... Number 7, we have Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't mention something here, and Steven would probably kill me. And that is that the Elite Four will own you. I did not expect this, okay? So I'm going along, I'm having fun with the game, and it's a very standard remake. I mean, I know Steven would have tons to talk about with this, and he would go on and on, and I'm sure we're gonna, you know, we'll find a time to catch up. His problem right now is he's got the kids, and with COVID going around, schools are all closed, so he's got the kids like all the time. That's the reason why he's not here right now. So I don't want to talk too much about this, because I know he's gonna talk a lot about this for sure. But for me, as a remake, it was a good remake. I know there were some technical issues. Steven in particular, I found a whole bunch of stuff. He's still working on the decks right now. For me, I played through, well, I finished the whole game. I got the regional decks, but when it unlocked to the national decks, I was like, I'm just not in the mood to go through and get it all. So instead, what I was doing is spending a lot of time in the mine, getting some of the basically like gems that you could use to unlock some of the legendaries and mystical Pokemon and stuff like that. Yeah, so anyways, so what I did from there was I would catch some of the legendaries and just have fun, you know? Like, I would just play a game a little bit here and there. But when I was playing the game to actually beat the game and go through the game, I was having a good time. I didn't find anything overly challenging until I got to the Elite Four, and they just wrecked my face. And then when I got to the champion, what the hell? It was like, look out, man. It was insane, okay? Like, insane. Now, granted, I usually am over-leveled by this point, but the actual Pokemon that the Elite Four had were actually higher level than my characters were. So needless to say, they just absolutely destroyed me. And what I loved was that it was actually challenging. Like, it wasn't fake, if that makes any sense. Like I even had them changing out their Pokemon. And like, so if one Pokemon was like overly weak to, you know, like say a Pokemon that I had, they would switch it out, things like that. Like, I was like, I did not expect that, like, at all, man. Anyways, yeah, so overall, we're gonna have a whole podcast on this, but comes in at number 7 for me is Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Pokemon Shining Pearl. That obviously would have been Steven's number 1 game, because he's already put in probably like 7,000 hours into it. But yeah, so there you go. All right, now my number 6 for real this time is actually a mobile game. What is wrong with you, Jared? Yeah, guys, believe it or not, it's Fantasian from the creator of Final Fantasy. He basically paired up with the whole gang again and created an RPG that's absolutely awesome. Like, no joke, it was released in two parts, which that was a little bit weird. But in terms of gameplay, it's outstanding. Like, it's absolutely outstanding. I love the fact that you have this mechanic, I forget what it's called right now, but you could basically walk around the whole overworld, if you will, and instead of having random encounters where you get, you know, sucked in, pulled into battle, whatever, you could actually, like, charge this particular gauge. And so, like, as you'd walk around and be like, okay, well, now you just, you should have been sucked into this one battle, now two battles, three battles, four battles, and you can actually just fight everyone all at once. Now, you have to be extremely careful, especially in the later stages of the game, because just fighting, like, regular enemies is unbelievably challenging, let alone, you know, getting, like, six or seven in one shot. Like, yeah, good luck with that. But, yeah, Fantasian, brilliant game. Really, really recommend you check that out if you're interested. It's part of the Apple Arcade service. Really, truly fantastic, fantastic game. All right, number five. Number five, we have a game that, from its first trailer, I was like, this is for me. Like, this looks awesome. And that is Kena: Bridge of Spirits. Loved it. It's a stunning looking game. I mean, I went through that in, I think, like, I don't know, three sittings or something. Like, just loved it. I think it is a brilliant game. There's only one slight problem I have with it, and that is the fact that it is unbelievably hard. It gets insane. It gets like Dark Souls hard. And I mean, if you like a challenge and you like what you're seeing here, go for it, guys. It's a brilliant game. All right, number four. Okay, so my top four games are truly excellent games, okay? These are like the best of the best, and I know that this game, Halo Infinite, would have scored a lot higher had it been released complete. But it's simply not a complete game. I mean, you cannot have a Halo game without co-op. Like, I'm sorry, guys. You just cannot do that. That's bloody ridiculous. And it just, there was just so many features with online that weren't working, and that just, well, it's not so much that they weren't working, that they just, it just didn't feel complete. But in terms of an overall game, I love the Halo campaigns, and I really enjoyed this one, guys. I really did. I think this whole open world thing works very well for Halo when you consider that it's technically always been an open world environment. It's just that it was connected through linear stages. It's pretty much the only thing they've changed is that now it truly is one open world. All right, number three. My number three is a game I actually just reviewed recently, which is Record of Lodoss War, Deedlit in Wonder Labyrinth. Guys, this almost made it to my top game of the year. Absolutely loved this. And the reason why I loved it so much is because it came out of nowhere. Ahmed said, hey, Jared, there's a game on Game Pass you may want to check out. I checked it out, and I fell in love with it. I just absolutely fell in love with it. It is a phenomenal Metroidvania or action exploration game. Completely worth your time, effort, energy, money to check out. It's brilliant. I really don't have much to say about it except for the fact that, I mean, look at it. It's a stunning game. Really, really recommend this one for you guys. Number two. My number two is Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart. Brilliant game on the PlayStation 4. Absolutely loved this one. Really showed off the power of the, I think I said PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5. It's one of the only next-gen exclusives that are actually out on the market right now, and it it just blew me away because it's more of the same, you know? But that's not a bad thing when it comes to Ratchet and Clank. Like, it's a beautiful looking game. It's got the same gameplay that you've grown accustomed to, the same humor, great writing, just overall a brilliant, brilliant game. And so what is my number one pick of 2021? Well, that would be Metroid Dread. Yep, my top pick is definitely Metroid Dread. There's no question about it. Metroid Dread was a game that, number one, came out of nowhere. I did not hear rumors about this because there was rumors about Metroid forever, you know? And this time around, it was sort of like, okay, well, it's been like almost 20 years, for God's sake, since the last 2D Metroid. Like, these rumors are all BS, you know? But the fact that it actually got announced at a direct and it was like, oh, it's coming like now, you know, like this year, it was like, oh my gosh. And when it actually got released, I finished the entire game in like two sittings. And yeah, it's a short game, and yeah, it's classic Metroid. In other words, like, don't expect too much new. You've got the parry attack from Metroid Return of Samus, but it really does wrap up the other four games, right? So this is truly like Metroid 5 that started all the way back on the NES and was just, it was a really good game. It was nice and challenging too. The boss fights were challenging, and just overall it was just amazing. Sort of like what we said, we actually, I think it was in 2017, I want to say, when, Samus Returns was released on the 3DS. And so to fast forward like 4 years, you know, I'll say what we said back then, which was that, you know, it's so nice to play as Samus Aran again. And on the Switch, it was great. It was. I really liked the art style too. The whole Emmy. I know that some people weren't too keen on that, but I honestly didn't find it overstayed its welcome. The sense of dread was really there. And when I finished that game, I actually immediately went and played Zero Mission on my Game Boy Advance SP. That's how much I got into this. Just an absolutely brilliant game, and if you like Metroid, I'd highly recommend you check it out. And there you go, ladies and gentlemen, that is it. That's my top 10 games of 2021. And I'm sure, because of my fevered, riddled brain, I'm sure I made all kinds of mistakes calling stuff PS4s or 2s instead of PS5s, and Xbox, who knows what, 360 instead of Series X or whatever. But, yeah. So, for all of you, I'd love to hear what your top 10 games of the year are. And Steven and I, we're going to do our best to try and you know, get back on the saddle here. It's just, with the world falling apart with COVID, it's kind of difficult for us to find time where his kids aren't around. Damn kids. But that's it, guys. So I hope you enjoyed my top 10 games of the year. And I'll look for yours in the comments. Be sure to let me know what your top 10 games of the year are. Thanks for listening, everybody. And have a fantastic time, day. I have no idea what I'm saying anymore. All right, everyone. Take care. All the best.